Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes! Oh, it is. It is! The Alex Donner Show here on 560 WQAM. Streaming all over the internet. WQAM.com on the computer or on your smartphone, the radio.com app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. And if you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, whether it's World Cup wisdom, predict LeBron's next destination wisdom, spoiler alert, Los Angeles, Miami Dolphins wisdom as minicamp closed up today in Davie, your Jarvis Landry, Ryan Tannehill thoughts, everything welcomed here tonight at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cellular, or you can always text us on the Kendall and West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22. But please do not text and drive. We will talk some King James, some Tannehill Landry with Dave Hyde from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He's going to join us. We'll hit him with the Hyde around 620. 8 o'clock, Chris Whittingham. Or will it be Nigel? We'll talk some World Cup with Chris. Russia just demolished Saudi Arabia. Like, Saudi Arabia, I know that those guys are bad, but they don't even run. Like, you get that honor to represent your country in the World Cup. Like, these guys aren't running for 50-50 balls. And obviously, Saudi Arabia, probably the worst team in the cup, period. But that was embarrassing today on their part. Just getting shellacked by the host country. And I know that I'm bitter because when I watch Saudi Arabia go out there and embarrass the entire world, not just their country, it makes me wonder, my God. And I know about all the qualifying stuff. You don't have to explain the nuts and bolts to me. But seeing Saudi Arabia go out there and just get housed, no effort whatsoever, makes me think, damn, I couldn't get my Italian team, no Azzurri in this World Cup, no Team USA, Netherlands can't even get in. So you can watch Saudi Arabia go out there and, like Cam Cameron would say, just fail forward fast. By the way, the top three list later tonight. Top three reasons to watch the World Cup, right? In case you're upset, there's no Team USA or the team you root for didn't qualify. I will give you the top three reasons to watch the World Cup. How about this from Udonis Haslam? Kudos to our guy Ira Winderman for putting these quotes at the forefront. Udonis Haslam revealed that LeBron James met with he and Dwayne Wade before the NBA Finals started. Quote, right before they started the Finals against Golden State, I spent some time with Bron, Haslam said during a visit to the Heat's youth camp at South Broward High School today. He was in Miami. Me, him, and Dwayne got together. We spent some time together, and we just chopped it up, and we just talked. Relocation, however, according to Ira, was not on the table. That, Haslam said, was not part of the conversation. In other words, according to Haslam, they didn't get into the nuts and bolts of, so LeBron, you got this series, this unwinnable series coming up with Golden State. Where are you going to play next year? July 1st comes around, free agency opens. Who are you thinking about? You thinking about Philly? You thinking about Houston, LA, Miami, Boston, staying in Cleveland? What are you thinking about? Haslam said it never came up. Obviously, he was getting ready for the NBA Finals, Haslam said, but there are great places here. There are great pieces here, he said. And we all know the city loves him. And we all know what he's capable of doing. I'm sure the organization and I would love to have him. But as a friend, once again, I support LeBron with whatever decision he makes. So we'll see. And Haslam even said that he would consider being part of a recruitment for LeBron James if it came down to that. Which, you know, and there's definitely a bridge you got to cross before that would happen because Udonis Haslam himself is no guarantee to be part of this recruitment because we don't know for sure if he's going to be on the Heat next year. But Haslam said, am I going to be part of a recruitment process? Hell yeah, he said. If he reaches out and we talk, I'm going to throw it out there, but you just never know. James joined the Heat in 2010 free agency, Ira writes. advancing to four consecutive NBA Finals and winning championships in 2012 and 2013, along with Haslam, before returning to Cleveland in 2014 free agency. He holds an option for next season that otherwise would allow him to again become a free agent. Haslam stressed that it was not as if James's mind was on anything but the Finals during that brief reunion. Nah, not at all, Haslam said. Our conversation is way deeper than where LeBron James goes next year. Josh Richardson also made a case for LeBron's basketball fit in Miami, if it comes down to that for LeBron, if he really does consider returning to South Beach. Excitement, said Richardson when asked his thoughts on Miami being in the mix for LeBron. Excitement. I'm not too excited, he said, because I don't know what he wants to do or what he's going to do. I mean, I think we have great pieces to offer to play around him. We play with a lot of intensity. We've got a lot of dog in us, which, yeah, that's true. You need that in the trenches. That's all I can really say about it. I think it is kind of ironic for Josh Richardson to comment on that, because in order to clear the cap space that it would take to bring LeBron James back to Miami, isn't it possible that Josh Richardson would have to be a part of a deal that's made, whether it be a sign-and-trade or a straight-up trade to shed salary for another team before you can afford LeBron? So I think the irony of it is you've got Josh Richardson talking about, oh, this would be awesome playing with LeBron James, the fit that we would offer. If that reunion, LeBron in Miami, were to take place, pretty decent chance Josh Richardson is not even part of that team. And yeah, look, a texter writes in, isn't it funny Richardson saying that knowing he will be traded to get LeBron here? Listen, obviously, if you're Pat Riley and you're telling him there's a chance to get LeBron here, obviously one of the last guys you would want to trade to make that happen would be Josh Richardson, right? You know, you would look first to a Hassan Whiteside. You know, you would obviously, even though I think he was the best player on the team last year, Goran Dragic being in his 30s, that would be a piece you would rather shed as opposed to a guy in his early 20s who looks like he could be a foundational piece of this Heat team for the next 7-8 years, talking about Richardson. So that would be one of the last guys that you would want to trade to bring LeBron back here. But he's one of the most tradable pieces on that roster because it takes two to tango, right? Like, Pat Riley can't necessarily dictate the terms to another team. Well, here are the guys we want you to take off of our hands, and here are the guys that are off limits, right? Because if another team says, well, we can talk if you throw Richardson, if you throw Bam Adebayo into that deal, but we can't talk if you're just trying to lump Hassan Whiteside and the crappy contract of Tyler Johnson on us. So I think there would be a very good shot that if LeBron James did want to come back here and the Heat had to clear up that cap space, that Richardson, who made the case for LeBron coming back here, probably wouldn't even be a part of that roster. Dexter writes in, what if LeBron misses Pat and Spo? He may miss the lack of chaos here. I think LeBron might miss the structure, the culture. I don't know if he personally misses Riley. I don't really feel like the two of them were that close. And I know that there were times that he questioned Eric Spoelstra, probably more so early than late, right? Early in that run, first year of the Big Three, the Heat were off to that underwhelming 9-8 start in 2010, 2011. Bumpgate happened. Riley had that sit down with the guys in the Big Three. And LeBron, according to Pat Riley, asked him, Pat, do you ever get that itch? What itch is that, LeBron? You know, the itch to coach again. Pretty obvious what he was angling at, right? Do you feel like maybe pulling the Stan Van Gundy again? Getting Spoelstra out of here, taking over, and we'll do this like it's the Showtime Lakers. That was what LeBron was thinking. And at that point in Pat's career, Pat was not having any of that. And Pat Riley was firmly behind Eric Spoelstra, and that ended up resulting in two championships with those guys together in 2012 and 2013. But yeah, I don't know if LeBron directly misses Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, but I think LeBron, if nothing else, I think LeBron has more of an appreciation for just the organization, ownership on down, from Mickey Arison to Riley to Spo, the consistency, the professionalism, the structure, because I find it hard to believe that you have anything even close to that in Cleveland, that you know, that Cavaliers organization just it comes off like an insane asylum at times. The lack of stability, rotating musical chairs of general managers and head coaches. I know that the head coach thing, LeBron was at least partially responsible for that in getting David Blatt ousted for his guy Tyronn Lue. But there's not been a whole lot of stability in Cleveland for the last 4 years, like there was in Miami during the 4 years that he spent here. So if nothing else, LeBron probably does miss some of that structure and consistency. Texter writes in, Haslam doesn't even see minutes, man. And that was something that Haslam also talked about today. I might have buried the lead when I brought up the LeBron comments from Haslam, because probably the more important thing that Udonis Haslam said today was he actually wouldn't rule out playing overseas next year instead of playing for the Miami Heat. Well, quote unquote, playing for the Miami Heat. Because remember, if Udonis Haslam signs another year in Miami for the veterans minimum, he's doing that to warm the bench. Like, Udonis Haslam is re-signing here to be the godfather of that locker room and to only play break glass in case of emergency. And UD said, I still can play basketball, man. Like, I'm not the fossil that you guys make me out to be. I'm not the dusty, rusty fossil that you guys like to say I am. I still have valuable minutes to offer. And Haslam, who played in France before his NBA career started, he's played overseas before, did say that he wouldn't rule out going back to Europe or even maybe going to China, Israel somewhere to play just to get some playing time overseas. That goes to show you that dude still, like, he loves the idea of playing the game. Anybody who thought you were ready, you know, for 37-year-old Udonis Haslam, if you were ready to say, well, it's time to transition him to coaching, which he said he doesn't want to do, does not want to be a coach, time to transition him to the front office, give him one of those cushy no-show jobs with the Heat organization just so he can be part of the team. It sounds to me like Udonis Haslam still wants to be on a roster, whether it's here or somewhere in another country. And he still wants to try and play basketball. So I think that's a pretty clear sign that UD is not ready to ride off into the sunset just yet, man. We'll talk with Dave Hyde from the South Florida Sun Sentinel when we come back. An interesting topic of conversation. I saw Dave posted a video with Omar Kelly from Dolphins camp this week discussing how the World Cup in 2026 could affect the Miami Dolphins organization. Because remember, we're talking about Hard Rock Stadium is almost certain to host some World Cup games in 2026. That you will have 8 years from now, World Cup matches in Miami, and that stadium is owned by the Miami Dolphins. How could that affect the Dolphins organization? And I've got to have our guy Hyde weigh in on this one-sided battle of words between Jarvis Landry and Ryan Tannehill. I say one-sided because Ryan Tannehill, I think he's following the proper playbook. He is saying nothing. He is letting Jarvis Landry just flap his gums about how much they didn't get along and how much better his quarterbacks are in Cleveland. And I like the fact that Tannehill is taking the high road. So we'll talk to the Hyde man when we come back. Time to hit him with the Hyde. We go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved two blocks south of their old location. Get there now. This man is a columnist from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He's had a lot to tackle this week. Yeah, I know that people say it's a slow time of year for sports when the NFL is still on the horizon. You did have mini camps, but I mean, you can only talk mini camps so much. No NFL games. NBA and NHL are done. The Marlins are not any good. And yet Dave Hyde has a lot on his plate with the LeBron speculation, with Tannehill and Jarvis Landry. How are we doing tonight, Dave?
Yeah, it's sort of like the black hole of sports right now that fortunately a couple topics have bubbled up and helped out a poor columnist and I'm sure a talk show host too.
Oh, no question, Dave. I was having a conversation about this with one of my listeners before the show tonight, saying that, you know, don't you get tired of talking so much LeBron James and talking about Tannehill and Jarvis Landry? Why don't you talk more Florida Panthers and get ready for the game? And I said, listen, I have to talk about what people are interested in. Like, I can't go off the script that much, Dave, as I'm sure you know. And I do want to start with you, Dave, on LeBron James. Now, Los Angeles seems to be the betting favorite wherever you look. A lot of speculation that he's going to take his talents to Hollywood this time around. Do you see that as the spot for LeBron, or could it be another spot maybe we're not even talking about that much?
Well, I think you have to preface everything with, we have absolutely no idea what LeBron James is thinking, right? And as he's shown, he makes big boy decisions based on what he wants to do. Coming to Miami and offending Cleveland the first time, going back to Cleveland in 2014. So, if you're looking for any great insight from me, move elsewhere. But if I'm guessing, I'm guessing he's going to stay in Cleveland.
Wow. You know,
I get all those other places why people are saying that, but you know, he's talked of he wants to be an owner. He's talked of, and you know what? When he left here, I'd hope that he'd finished in Cleveland. I'd hope that would be, you know, and really, when you think about it, all everybody's looking at is, where can he win, right?
Yeah.
Where can he win best? Does having a fourth championship as opposed to having three titles, does that really change the conversation on LeBron at all? I don't think so. I think moving again would. I think if him leaving Cleveland again would change the conversation about him.
You know, Dave, some fans will bring up Miami. They always get in this conversation, although, like, fiscally, I don't see how it's possible when you're talking about trying to create that cap space and you don't have the draft picks or the type of contracts on your roster that would make it easy to make trades and create that kind of cap space. You know, do you think the Heat should actually distance themselves from the LeBron talk and kind of tell people this is not happening? We're focusing on other things.
Well, it's interesting today. I know, like, Ira Winderman talked to Udonis Haslam, who said that LeBron came down and visited him and Wade before the NBA Finals. So, look, there's a lot of stuff that's going to just keep circulating on this. And I wrote a column earlier this week that no chance LeBron comes here. I hope I'm wrong on that. I'd love for him to come back here. And as far as clearing cap space, they could. They really could. What would have to happen is LeBron re-signs with Cleveland and demands a trade to Miami, and the Heat send them a few pieces that match LeBron's salary in return. So you can create a scenario where he could end up here. I just think that book's closed. But personally and selfishly, I hope I'm wrong. Those 4 years with LeBron here were great years to be a sports writer in this town, and gave a great show, the best show in sports at the time. And it'd be great if he came back.
Dave, I get the sense that Pat Riley, you know, I know that any time he wanted to, he doesn't need money. He doesn't need to do this. He can ride off into the sunset in that beautiful house in Malibu that he wants to retire to. But I get the sense that Riley does not want to retire until he feels like he's made one last big splash and leaves this roster in a better place than it's currently in, that he wants to make that one more LeBron James type of move to revamp this roster. He wants to have one more trick up his sleeve before he leaves for good. Do you get that sense?
And anybody who's followed Riley, absolutely. He's not here to put together a team that gets knocked down in the first round of the playoffs. You know, making the playoffs isn't what he's about. And, you know, further, I'm more curious, is he going to retire at all?
Mm.
You know, I remember when he came here in, what was it, 94, 95?
Yeah, I think 95,
yeah. Talking to him, and he said, 10 years more in the gym, that'll be enough for me. Well, okay, 10 years in the gym, but now he's in the front office, and he's, what, 70?
73.
What is he, 73 now?
Yeah.
And you know, like Jerry West, you know, maybe he's just not the retiring type, which would, you know, that'd be great for the franchise in South Florida.
You know, Dave, moving to the NFL, I think when people talk about the things that Jarvis Landry has said about Ryan Tannehill and the quarterback situation in Miami, sometimes people miss the point when they start bringing up, let's turn this into a debate between Ryan Tannehill and Tyrod Taylor, or, you know, the three quarterbacks on the roster in Cleveland versus the three or four quarterbacks on the roster in Miami. To me, Dave, what troubles me about what Jarvis Landry has been saying is there are certain things he brings up where he's straight up lying. Like when he talks about how great it is that Tyrod Taylor is organizing informal workouts before the OTAs start, getting his receivers together and throw, and that's something Ryan Tannehill never did in Miami. It's 100% false, Dave. I mean, we know covering that team the last several years, what does Ryan Tannehill do every spring before OTAs start? Exactly what Tyrod Taylor did. Get his receivers together for throwing sessions, build chemistry, build rapport before the offseason program starts. Like, I'm wondering why Jarvis Landry thinks he can just start making stuff up to try and support his argument.
Yeah, I think Landry needs to let it go and go have a successful career in Cleveland. I really don't understand what he's doing. What's the end game? What's the winning idea for him there? And you think his people would be telling his agent, somebody would. And again, everybody who was around the team knew he was your hands were full in dealing with him. And you're seeing now, you know, he was upset the way he was talked about on the way out of town. Mm. And yet he's confirming a lot of the issues on his way out of town. And now I think, you know, some of it, I'm kind of mystified. And I wrote a column on this. A lot of guys have left. Mike Pouncey left and talked about how delighted he was to play with Philip Rivers because he this is the type of quarterback he wants to play. And so I think there is some answering, or maybe just looking in the mirror at Tannehill, how he can, you know, get through to some of these guys. But I think the larger point here with just Jarvis is he needs to just go be successful in Cleveland and quit trying to take pot shots at people.
Well, what are your impressions, Dave, of Tannehill's leadership? I know that a lot of, like you mentioned, some of the guys he no longer plays with will take pot shots. The guys he currently plays with will always say nice things. But do you see that in Tannehill in observing him in practices and games?
Well, look, Tannehill, you never fault his work ethic, his desire to help the team, and like you said, getting together with players, and he wants to do that. That's who he is, and he wants to be the best. Now the question is, does his message get through to players all the time? That's the thing that hasn't really been there for a while. And I think that's really the thing as he sat out last season and they really made him the leader of this team. They turned everything on this team over to him, in this off season. And so, I'm curious to see moving forward, you know, how that works. It's easy in May and June, not easy to go work with people and work with them, but there's no scoreboard up there. There's no going back into the huddle after you've thrown an interception. There's none of that, you know, adversity that you're going to face in the season. So we'll have to wait to see in the season where it goes. Again, nobody questions his desire to be great and his work ethic towards that. But there have been questions through the time. Okay, is he an effective leader?
This season, Dave, is this finally the year when you have to judge Tannehill to say that this is his last chance to show you whether he's a franchise quarterback or not? And even for Adam Gase, how crucial is this season for Gase to stay off the hot seat?
I'm embarrassed to say I probably answered yes 2 years ago to that question about Tannehill. Yes, this is the year we're finally
going
to say it. But look, at age 30, et cetera, everybody knows all the criteria of why this is, finally the season that we're going to judge Tannehill. It's a referendum on not just Gase, but the whole front office, and I just wrote a column today. It's probably not up online yet, but you know the Dolphins really, the front office and coaches did exactly what they wanted to this offseason. You go through the checklist of things they want to do, changing the defense to fit a offensive formations lined up three receivers 65% of the time last year, and they didn't think they had the personnel for that. So they went and they got the personnel. they handed the team over to Tannehill. They didn't want to get a Gaze, I think, and I think he told Sports Illustrated he felt it'd be wasting a draft pick to take a quarterback high. And you go down the checklist of things they wanted, and they've done exactly what they wanted. Now, is it the right thing? That's where your question about, okay, the focus on Gaze and on Tannenbaum and Chris Greer, that's what will play out this season. Their blueprint, they followed it. Now the question is, was it the right blueprint?
Dave, we're talking with Dave Hyde, by the way, columnist from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Tremendous news yesterday morning that in 2026, the World Cup is coming back to North America. United States, Canada, and Mexico actually won their joint bid, beating Morocco. A lot of people had told me before the vote that they thought Morocco would have the edge, so I was thrilled to see the result yesterday. And, the last time, Dave, that the World Cup was in the United States, 1994, I remember my disappointment that there were no games in Miami, right? That was because Joe Robbie Stadium had conflicts hosting the Florida Marlins at that time. That no longer exists with the Marlins having their own park. So I assume there will be games at Hard Rock Stadium, knowing what an important hub this has become for soccer. What does that mean, Dave, for this community and for the Miami Dolphins, given that they own that stadium?
Well, it's fun for the community, right? And to tell how times have changed in 94, I remember mocking the World Cup. And now I'm as big a proponent of soccer and of, international soccer and the World Cup. So look, people change. I did. But I think it's really to be on that stage. And again, we have no idea right now, that we're definitely getting a game down here yet.
Right.
And B, much less which one it would be. But look, Joe Robbie had the vision, and when he built the stadium to make it soccer friendly, that was his idea. And of course they got the Marlins in 90, and so they had to pass on the World Cup in 94. And now Steve Ross with his international soccer tournament and in the summer, and then the refurbishing kept the idea of a World Cup in mind and soccer in mind. And so you really have to salute the vision of those two guys, really, off the bat.
Dave Hyde covers everything in the world of sports for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Check out his work at sunsentinel.com. Check him out on Twitter at Dave Hyde Sports. Dave, I appreciate your time as always, my friend, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Hey, we went around the sports globe a little, didn't we, there?
That's Isn't that good. Great? Oh, and by the way, you mentioned now being a proponent of international soccer. Do you have a team? Who's Dave Hyde's team?
My team is Liverpool.
So you're like our own Eric Falero.
Yes, me and Falero have talked about Liverpool many times. I came to soccer, and actually, I know you probably have to miss a break in the most modern of ways, real quick.
Sure.
My kids played soccer, and they played video, the EA Sports.
Yeah, FIFA.
FIFA soccer. Yeah. And through that, I became an internet watching those players, fake players. I became an international soccer fan, and that tells you how bizarre America's soccer really has struck me.
Yeah, my wife tells me she actually enjoys watching me play FIFA more than watching actual soccer. So that must be a thing. Like watching other people play FIFA is entertaining.
Yes, what a ridiculous way to for soccer to spread in America, right?
Yeah, isn't that great? Dave, thank you so much as always, my friend. Enjoy the weekend coming up.
You too.
Good stuff there from Dave Hyde. And yeah, man, it's funny to think that Joe Robbie built that stadium, what is now Hard Rock Stadium, with World Cup, big international soccer games in mind. So how ironic was it that, 7-8 years after the stadium was built, lo and behold, the World Cup comes to America, and they have to pass on World Cup games because the Florida Marlins had their infield dirt in that stadium, and they couldn't make it happen. But it looks like, man, you're going to ask me to do the math from 1994 to 2026. What is that, 32 years? 32 years between World – oh, look at that math. 32 years between World Cups in America, and it looks like we will finally be getting World Cup games in this city. Coming up next – the audacity of a professional athlete who is 0-16 in his professional career calling out one of the best athletes on planet Earth. We'll explain next. Wow, I am trying to find Tiger Woods on this U.S. Open leaderboard. Oh, here he is. Tied for 108th. Woo! Way to go, Tiger. Plus 8 on the day. Fantastic. Round 1 of the U.S. Open today. I had to scroll down 108 spots to find Eldrick Woods. Scott Piercy sits atop the leaderboard. Minus 1. Well, Scott Piercy, Ian Poulter, Russell Henley, Dustin Johnson, who's looking good today through 15, through 16 now. They are all tied atop the leaderboard at minus 1. So that is your U.S. Open update here during round 1. Sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day, 100% satisfaction guarantee, serving golfers around the country since 1968. They do a great job at Edwin Watts Golf. Much better job than the one being done by Tiger Woods today. But I'm sure El Tigre will bounce back, right? If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines. 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, or get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22. But please don't text and drive. I was just finished talking about how excited I am, 2026, to be able to go, to bring my son, who will be 8 years old by that time. He's 3.5 months old now, to take my son to a live World Cup game at Hard Rock Stadium. 8-year-old kid, he'll be old enough to appreciate some of it. And then we get this text, that horribly corrupt organization known as FIFA will never get a penny of my hard-earned money. At least FIFA got it right and brought this World Cup. They're bringing 2026 to North America. I said that on Tuesday. What was it? Wednesday morning that they had the vote. I said it Tuesday night that if FIFA turns down a joint bid from the United States, the great country of America, the somewhat great country of Canada, and the also great country of Mexico, if they turn down a joint bid between these three North American powerhouse countries in favor of Morocco, that would be about corruption, right? Then you could call shenanigans on FIFA. What I always say is, FIFA is going to FIFA. That's why I was fully expecting before the vote Wednesday morning that this super bid of North American powers, we're going to lose this out to Morocco. I was fully expecting that. And they did the right thing in what was a very one-sided vote on Wednesday morning. So I know that they've still probably got a very long way to go, but FIFA at least is starting to clean up and root out their corruption. I'm not going to let your moral sensibilities of saying I don't want to give a dime to FIFA, I'm not going to let that keep me from fulfilling a dream that I have not to this point fulfilled of going to see a World Cup match live. I have not done that in my life. I've been following that damn tournament since 1994 was really the first World Cup I was invested in as a child, and it was in my country, but since they didn't play a game in Miami, you know, I'm a 10-year-old kid at the time, and I guess my father decided, no, I'm not going to leave town to watch a game. So since they didn't play in Miami, didn't catch a game live then, haven't caught a World Cup game live since, I'm not going to allow your moral high ground of saying, oh, I don't want to give FIFA a dime. I'm not going to let that stop me from fulfilling a lifelong dream of going to see a World Cup match live. I will not let that stop me.
Well, let me go ahead and just inform this guy who wants to get up on his high horse about, okay, a little piece of reality, okay? If you are going to sit there and protest every major organization, sport or otherwise, movie studio,
right,
if you're going to, who for corrupt practices or not caring about the fans or whatever, then I got news for you, homie. You are going to be protesting a lot of corporations. You're going to be spending very little time entertained and a whole lot of time mad.
You can never watch a Kevin Spacey movie again.
Never.
Right? Like, if you tell me, Dono, you can never watch The Usual Suspects, you can never watch Seven again, you can never rewatch House of Cards ever again, I say nay to you. You're not going to keep that from my, no matter how, if I can never watch a Cosby Show rerun, a show that I loved, right? Like, these are human beings who did terrible, terrible things. That doesn't mean I have to protest every piece of work they've ever done.
There's a term I like to use called separate the art from the artist.
Yes.
And I use that in sports too. I am not a Deion Sanders fan. I don't like the way he carries himself off. I don't like the way he played the game. I thought he was a little flash doggy, but the guy's a great player. No, I don't really like the way he carries himself, but I can separate the two. I can tell you he's a great player. Same thing with Tom Brady. I can tell you he's a great player. Do I like Tom Brady? Heck no, I don't like Tom Brady. I'm a Dolphin fan. How can I like Tom Brady in good conscience?
You better not.
But, you know, I can separate the art from the artist. The same thing goes with these celebs. Cosby Show, great. Is he a bad dude? Absolutely. Am I never going to laugh at another joke from the Cosby Show again? Or when he made that great joke when he was like, "That is great. Get me some chocolate cake." I'm going to not laugh at that anymore for the rest of my life? No, come on. It was funny. Now, like, is the guy a jerk? Sure, but I separate the art from the artist, man.
Well, I'll give you an even better sports example than the ones you brought up. It's been, I don't know, 12 years since I missed a Floyd Mayweather Jr. fight. And that guy, all accounts, despicable human being. Despicable, brutal, terrible human being. Multiple domestic violence charges, convictions. And yet, I haven't missed a Floyd Mayweather fight since maybe, I don't know, 04, 05. I think from the De La Hoya fight in 07 on, I've never missed a Floyd Mayweather Jr. fight.
Well, he's the biggest ticket, and he's the biggest ticket in the sport. How can you miss it if you like the sport at all?
And if nothing else, like if you hate the guy, you watch hoping that he loses.
Absolutely. And the same thing could be said for Tyson during the second half of his career.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. And Tyson, after he got out of prison, his pay-per-view buy rates went up. He became a bigger draw after that.
Oh, remember the embarrassing amount of money that the Tyson fight with him and Peter McNeely made?
Right. I mean, Don King probably pocketed like 90% of the money that Tyson made, but you know.
Which, of course, he promptly lost, but.
No question about that, man. So how about this for something that I found to be a little bit ridiculous. 0-16 professional football player, Myles Garrett. Remember Myles Garrett, 2017, number one overall pick to the Cleveland Browns. Myles Garrett, I guess he must be caping up for the city of Cleveland. Like, Myles Garrett must have made a decision. You know what I want to do to really get myself in the good graces of the city of Cleveland? I'm going to stick up for the Cavaliers. No matter how stupid of a thing I'm going to say here, I can make the people of Cleveland love me if I can cape up for the Cavaliers because I'm on Team Cavs. I'm not on Team Warriors. Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett said Thursday that Golden State Warriors forward Kevin Durant, quote-unquote, broke the NBA when he signed with the already star-studded Dubs in 2016. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com. Mary Kay Cabot, by the way, I think I've had her, I think I've interviewed her once a few years ago. I've got to give her credit because anytime you see a story of any kind breaking from the city of Cleveland, she must be the only columnist in that entire city, or else she's really damn good at her job. Because every story broken in the land is broken by Mary Kay Cabot, at least every football story, right? I guess you have Windhorst with basketball, Mary Kay Cabot. Any football story that breaks in Cleveland, she's behind it. So I give her credit. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com passed along comments that Garrett made on 92.3 The Fan about Andy Baskin works. I wonder if he was behind this. About Kevin Durant after the Warriors captured their third championship in the past 4 years when they completed a sweep of the Cleveland Cavaliers in the 2018 NBA Finals last week. Quote, this is Garrett. If I were him, I would have never made a move like that in the first place, he said. Me? I'm too competitive to try and ride on somebody's coattails to get a W. But for him, you might as well stay at the spot you're at now. There's no point of leaving since you've already taken that moniker where he's been called the snake and cupcake and all that. You might as well stay and just keep on winning. Garrett lamented the fact that the Warriors are able to have pretty easy success because they possess far more firepower than any other team. Quote, anyone can have an off night and they can still find, and that part is true. Anyone can have an off night and they can still find a way to win, he said. So I love how a guy who played 16 professional football games and has not a single time tasted victory is going to go out and talk trash about one of the best athletes in the world. Certainly one of the best, two or three best basketball players in the world right now in Kevin Durant. And first of all, like the riding the coattails thing, I could see you saying that if Kevin Durant wasn't the best player on that team, or if Kevin Durant was really just skating by in the NBA Finals and letting Steph Curry carry it. The guy has won two straight Finals MVPs. And the one in 2017, because that was a tougher series, a little bit tougher of a series, was more impressive than the Finals MVP in 2018. But I feel like Kevin Durant has backed up or has countered some of that trash talk that people throw at him by coming alive in the Finals and winning two straight Finals MVPs. And now he's getting called out by a guy who has yet to win a single time as a professional football player. And also, I think it's pretty stupid and lazy to buy into the argument that the Golden State Warriors have broken the NBA. that there's no more competitive balance. The NBA has never been in worse shape because you've got a team with that many all-stars, with that many great players. The ratings and the intrigue are better than they've been in decades. I know that for the haters out there, if you're living in Cleveland and you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, oh, it's not fair. Look how good LeBron is. And LeBron, 51 points, a triple-double. They can't get a single win against that team. It's not fair. The deck is stacked too far in their favor. I get news for you. America, according to the ratings, according to the advertising, according to the TV money, America is enjoying the NBA a lot more right now than they have for the better part of the years since the Lakers three-peat and the Jordan-era Bulls. People love to watch dominant teams. I don't think you can ever say that a dominant champion is bad for sports, right? And if nothing else, if you want to talk about them breaking the NBA, you think about other super teams that are trying to be constructed as a result, the way the Boston Celtics are gearing up. And the Boston Celtics could be scary. That's a team that was one win away from the NBA Finals without their two best players, right? Don't discount how good that team can be in the coming years. Philadelphia, their two best players are in their early 20s, still extremely young. You saw what Houston has done, joining forces between Chris Paul and James Harden, how close that team was to beating the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. I know it seems like a long shot now, but what if LeBron James goes to Houston? That team could be competitive with Golden State. I think when you have a super team developed in the NBA, it doesn't break the league. It creates an arms race that can be better for the league in the long run, right? The Big Three and the Miami Heat got together. Don't you think Kevin Durant kind of stole that idea when he decided he had to go to Golden State and form a super team? You're seeing the NBA evolve. You're not seeing the NBA break.
I'll one-up that. In fact, I would even say that the Heat's Big Three get-together was a reaction to Boston putting together their original Big Three.
Yes, that's a great point because nobody seemed to want to talk about that, right? When LeBron, Bosh, and Wade joined together. Oh, they said the same things that they said about Kevin Durant. This is not fair. This is a cheat code. These guys should want to beat each other, not play with each other. And you had kind of forgotten about the Big Three with Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce in Boston and how they won a championship their first year together and probably would have won more had the Big Three not been formed later on and had the Lakers not been so good when they lost to them in the finals. So this is not something new for the league, and I think the NBA will adapt for this. Dono, if you take Durant off Golden State, do they still win that title? Last year, I think they would have. 2 years ago, I don't know, because Kyrie was still in Cleveland. I think if Durant was not on this year's Golden State team, I think they still win that championship because Cleveland was so broken by the time they got to those finals, and LeBron James was so mentally and physically exhausted. I think in 2017, if there was no Durant, Golden State would have won that title. 2018? I think in 2017, Cleveland would have won that title if no Durant on Golden State. 2018? Yeah, they probably still would have won without KD. It's a combination of loving dominance and disliking LeBron. Win-win. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. 7 o'clock hour, the Alex Dono Show coming up. We are going to have, in the 7 o'clock hour, top three list. If you're on the fence about the World Cup, and I think we have a guy in that situation in the studio right now, Sports Bomber Danny, he told me he's not a huge soccer fan. Not a huge soccer fan. So for those of you out there, maybe you were ready few months back to root on Team USA, and that didn't work out for you. Maybe you love the hash brownies and you love the clogs that they wear in the Netherlands. You wanted to root for the Netherlands. That didn't work out for you. Maybe you love pizza. You wanted to root for Italy. That didn't work out for you. You need reasons to be enthused about the World Cup. 7:20, I will have a top three list. Top three reasons to watch the World Cup. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on QAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.